Our Bible reading today comes from 1 Corinthians 13, and it's about love. And as you probably know, Christians have realized throughout the generations that sometimes physically acting out things is a helpful way to remember. So, for example, for many years, Catholic Church will use the genuflex as a way of sign of the cross. And it's a way of reminding us, incorporating us, embedding in us those ideas. So as we read through 1 Corinthians 13, which is all about love, every time you hear the word love, I want you to make a love symbol. You'll never know how long it's taken me to get that right. I'm a middle-aged man, that doesn't come naturally. But every time you hear the word love, put it like that. And that will remind you how many times, if your arms are aching at the end, it probably means we've done love a lot. So let's have a practice. Love. Excellent. So this is from 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't have... You know this one, don't you? I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't have love, I am nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor, and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't have love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Love doesn't have a swelled head. Love doesn't force itself on others. Love isn't always me first. Love doesn't fly off the handle. Love doesn't score of the sins of others. Love doesn't revel when others grovel. Love takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Love puts up with anything. Love trusts God always. Love always looks for the best. Love never looks back, but keeps going to the end. The passage that we have just read together spoke a lot about love, and it was spoken into a context that it is helpful for us to understand. It was written by an early Christian called Paul, and it was written to a church in Corinth that were struggling to get on together. Surprisingly, it has been known through church history for churches sometimes to struggle to get on. It's a reality of any bunch of humans coming together. But in that church in Corinth particularly, Paul had some concerns about not just differences of opinion, not just about differences of gifting, but the way in which those opinions and those giftings were shared. Some of those in that church in Corinth had a special prayer language, what we sometimes know as tongues, where they could speak in the language of angels. And that can be very uplifting for a church, and with interpretation can help us to hear what God's saying. But for that group within the church, it made them special. It made them top people. The sort of people who would have special chairs in church. And there are some special chairs at the back, but no one sits on them, which is at the moment, which is good. It would make them feel superior to the others who couldn't. You can't. Oh, can't you? I can. There was another group who was saying, well, actually, what really matters is we're smart. We're sensitive. We can discern these mysteries of faith. You think it's complicated, but it's not. I understand these mysteries. And they were going around and saying, this is what really matters. These secrets that were hidden. We know them. And if you want to know them, come and talk to us. And particularly in the ancient culture, mysteries were a big thing. I don't know whether you were aware, but in the ancient world, mathematicians weren't just people who were good at sums. They were seen, in a sense, as delving into the mysteries of the world, to the point that groups like Pythagoras would be involved in, they had secret codes. You couldn't share the secrets of maths with others because it would enlighten them. I've had many a math teacher who felt a bit like that over the years, but there we go. That's my issue, not theirs. And then there was a third group in the church in Corinth who were actually saying, no. You speak in this language and you can see the mysteries, but we need to help people. We need to be practical. We need to show practical concern. This is the ancient world, of course, isn't it? With no government help, with no provisions if people go get ill, with no government support. And so to help people and show love was important. And rather than Paul going in and saying, actually, the best group is, like on a game show where the countdown goes and the pointer goes, he comes and says, actually, you're all got gifts and talents. You're the body of Christ. You're all different. But that's okay. Being different doesn't mean being better. And he wants to say to them, actually, if you have this amazing gift of speaking in tongues, if you can understand the mysteries of God, if you're brilliant at service and helping, but have not love, then it's pointless. There's a sense in which sometimes we do the right things in the wrong ways. Have you ever done that? You know, perhaps when we're driving and we need to let someone through, and we let them through, but inside we're not so happy. Many years ago, I may have told this before, you used to be able to buy a little a thing you could affix on your dashboard. It was a little computer program, little computery thing, and you could press different buttons to do different things. And basically it was to try and help you with road rage. So if someone cut you up, you could press the missile button and go, boom. If someone refused to let you into a gap, you could hit the machine gun button and go, so sometimes we do the right things without love. And what Paul is saying is actually we need to do everything with love. To serve a cup of tea with a heart for doing it. Not a grumpiness that it's the 20th week in a row you've done it. To be able to open up some Bible or passage and not feel superior about it, but actually say, you know, let's read this together. I've got something to learn from you as you learn from me. Whether we're at the front or behind the scenes, whether we have lots of gifts or just one specific, we show it with love. In another letter in the Bible, in Colossians, there is a lovely little section that talks about how we can actively think about clothing ourselves with Christ. It says this, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And that's what we're called to do as Christians, to put on love, to put on humility, compassion, kindness, gentleness, and patience. As you came in, you will have received a card. I know some of you thought it was a card to put down which ailment you currently have so we can pray for you. And I know if you put dodgy knee, dicky hip, frozen shoulder. But that's not what it's for. What I want you to do is to clothe yourself. That's you in outline form. I want you to think, how am I going to clothe myself in these things? How am I going to clothe myself in some of those words that were there? Now, love, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. You may choose to write those words on the item of clothing. You may just want to put a letter, like a big P for patience. But dress and draw some outfits on those clothes. And as you do it, say to God, help me to be. Maybe put a T-shirt with a C on for compassion. Maybe put a pair of shorts on for patience with a P on. Maybe put a pair of running leggings, I don't know, or Lycra. I'm not going to look at your pictures, it's fine. A couple of shoes with humility written on them. As you go through that, ask God to clothe you with those things. And then when you have done that, let me see if I can get to the last one. Turn to the person next to you and talk about what you've drawn. There are the words you can use, love, patience, compassion, kindness, humility. But then turn to the person when you draw your drawing nearest you and say, well, actually, what does humility look like in my life? What might gentleness look like in my life? And also, where can we see Jesus doing these things in the Bible as well? So draw yourself a picture, put yourself some clothes on, choose whatever you'd normally wear, and choose some of those words. Pray as you're doing it. Lord, make me more like this. And then talk to the person next to you about what that might look like. And you've got about 4 or so minutes to do that, 4 or 5 minutes. Okay, fantastic. Hopefully that will have given you something to take away and have reflect on. And it's an interesting question, isn't it? How long do we spend choosing our clothes every day? Well, let's be consciously this week think about putting on that gentleness and kindness and love. And let us pray together. Lord, as we seek to love one another, we know we need your Spirit's help. For the times when we struggle, the times when it's difficult to be gentle and kind and compassionate and loving, Lord, we pray your Spirit will help us. Help us to be like love and not force ourselves on others. Help us to be loving and not always put ourselves first. Help us to show love and not fly off the handle. Help us to show love and not keep score of the sins of others. Help us to show love and don't revel when others are struggling. Help us to show love by taking pleasure in the flowering of the truth. Help us to show love by putting up with anything. And Lord, as we go into this new week, we pray that you'll help us to show love by trusting you always, to show love by always looking for the best, to show love by never looking back, and to show love by keeping going to the very end. And in so doing, Lord, we are showing your love to the world. We will change the world by showing love as we can. Holy Spirit, help us, we pray. Amen.